السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. Last week we looked at a hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم that informs us a person cannot be firm on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until his heart is firm on the deen of Allah. And the heart cannot be firm until the tongue is firm, steadfast. And so from this we realize the importance of evaluating how we use our tongues. The tongue is a great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a blessing. It is the tool with which we communicate. We let people know our feelings, what we think, what is inside our heart. And one of the Salihin said that hearts are like pots and the tongues are like the spoons that scoop things out of the pot. And so without the tongue, our life would become extremely difficult. And we know people who are unable to speak, their life is difficult. So it is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a double-edged sword in that it can lead to the pleasure of Allah and achieving great reward. But at the same time, that same tongue can lead to earning the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and great punishment. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, He says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. That indeed we have created man and we know the thoughts that are in his deep within him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. Every word that is spoken is recorded by the angels. And so in the Sharia of Islam, the tongue has actions. And those actions are the words that are spoken. And so, you know, we have the saying of actions speak louder than words, which means that words are not regarded as actions. But in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of the greatest actions are actually performed by the tongue. And there are words that are said with the tongue. For example, the shahada. For example, the recitation of Quran. For example, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, dua. For example, calling people towards good, forbidding evil, testifying with truth and standing with truth. All of these are what? Great deeds and actions. And so, words that are spoken should not be taken lightly. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns us about in the hadith, that a person will say a word and not giving it much importance, not regarding that word to be something weighty, something that is important. It will cause him to go to the lowest pits of hellfire. And a person will say certain words and not give them much attention, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise his ranks in paradise. And so it is extremely important that we keep track of what we say and how we utilize this great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so with every blessing comes responsibility. The tongue of Allah, the tongue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, was given to us for His remembrance, calling towards good, forbidding evil, lightening the burden of someone, directing someone to what is beneficial for them. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the tongue. Now there are sins that are committed. Some are common more than others that we should pay attention to. in order for our hearts to be firm on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to keep a check on our tongues. And so one of them is obviously shirk. And shirk is usually something that is said with the tongue, associating partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, as believers, we avoid this as much as possible because we realize the gravity of the matter, that if you associate a partner to Allah, then this is very dangerous for you, right? In this world and in the hereafter. And at times, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not merely just saying that it is not merely saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a son or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an equal, but rather even in everyday statements, you know, when you say things like this is the doing of time. Time does not do anything. It is Allah who does. This is life. It is not, life does not have any control. Nature does not have any control. Time does not have any control. People do not have any control. The sole controller of all things and situations is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when we attribute something that belongs to Allah to other than Allah, this is a form of shirk. The second, which is common, shirk is not common, alhamdulillah. We try to avoid it as best as possible because we know its gravity. Speaking about Allah without knowledge. This is very common in the Muslim community. An example is explaining verses of the Quran and giving meanings to the verses of the Quran without knowledge. This is what Allah means by this verse. Yes, if a person has read tafsir or a commentary and sees that ulama have explained a certain verse in a particular way, and then to give that information and share that information with others, this is a praiseworthy thing. But to explain verses of the Quran in accordance to our mind and our intellect, this is a great sin. Also, speaking about matters of religion, like for example, giving religious rulings that this is halal, this is haram, without knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبَ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ لِتَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ. That when a person says that something is halal or something is haram without knowledge of it, they are what? Lying about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only one that has the authority to make things halal and haram is Allah. And His Messenger informs us of that. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have the authority to make something halal or haram. This is why we find that at times people would come and ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he would not have an answer. And then moments later, perhaps after some time passes, he says, where is the person who asked the question? After he received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so speaking about Allah without knowledge, in explaining terms of the Quran, or explaining a hadith, or giving religious rulings, this is a great sin. And it is a sin that leads a person to associating and shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It leads a person to kufr. And so we have to remain vigilant when it comes to the sources of sharia, that we do not take them lightly. Absolutely, if we have knowledge of something, then as we said to, we have a responsibility to convey the knowledge that we have. Rasulullah said, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٌ. Convey what you hear from me. What is passed on to you from me, convey it to people. Even if it is one verse of the Quran. But then he says, وَمَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. The one who lies intentionally and attributes something to Rasulullah that Rasulullah did not say, and attributes something to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Let him choose his place in hellfire. So this is number two. Then we have certain prohibitions that are mentioned in a surah of the Quran. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after stating that believers are all brothers, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةَ, Allah says, all believers are what? Brethren. We are all brothers of one another. We are all sisters of one another. In faith and in iman, we have been united by belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and belief in His Messenger. Following this statement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of the things that cause friction and division amongst this brotherhood, in this brotherhood. The things that disunite the believers. And Allah does not want for us to be disunited. Because disunity makes the task of shaitan very easy. When we are separated and disunited, then shaitan picks at us one by one, group by group, in order to mislead us, and so that we end up in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَدْعُوا حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. The sole purpose of shaitan. He only has one purpose, one job, and that is taking people to hellfire. And so what causes disunity? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Believers are brothers or brethren. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Reconcile between your brothers. Reconciliation is doing what? Working to remove the differences. There will be differences between people. You are commanded to do what? To work in order to remove those differences and re-establish unity and brotherhood. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is an action of the tongue. Because you have to go to one party and speak to them and inform them of the command of Allah. And then you have to go to the other party and speak to them and inform them of the command of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. Reconciliation, or working to reconcile between two believing parties, individuals or groups or families, is what? It is a great worship of the tongue. Allah says, لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّن نَجْوَاهُمْ. There is no good in much of the secret conversations that take place, the talk between people. There is no benefit in it. إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِمَعْرُوفٍ إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ. Except for the one who encourages donation and charity. أو معروف encourages good. أو إصلاح بين الناس. And the one who seeks to reconcile between people. And Allah says, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Whoever does so, encourages charity, encourages good, or reconciles between believing people, between believers, Allah says, فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. We will grant him a great reward. What is the opposite of this? Tale-bearing, which is known as namima. This is forbidden because it goes against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are asked to utilize your tongue in order to reconcile between people. The one who does namima, tale-bearing, is seeking to divide people. And so he goes to one person and speaks to him in a way to create differences. And then he goes to the other and speaks to him about the first. Even if the things that he says are true, you know, let's say for example, I sit with one person and we are talking about a third person and he says things that are displeasing, or I should not go and take that information, because this is, as long as the person who is spoken about is not aware of it, he is in bliss, right? They say ignorance is bliss. He doesn't know. And so he's comfortable. The moment that you whisper in his ear and you tell him what was said about him, now what is going to happen? Hatred. he's going to have hatred towards the person that spoke those words. And so bearing tales is forbidden. Rasulullah says, لا يدخل الجنة نمام. That the person who does namima and gets information, carries information from one person to the other, and speech from one person to the other, in order to create division, this person will not enter paradise. Actually, this person is mentioned in the Quran, Hammazin Masha'im Binamim. And that this person will be in hellfire as a consequence of this. So namima is forbidden. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin. This is very common. Now we are talking about first shirk and speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge. These relate to Allah. The rest will relate to people. And so namima and tale bearing is what? Is an action or words that are carried between people, which is common. The second is what? Making fun of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يسخر قوم من قوم. Let not a group of people make fun of another group. Let not an individual make fun of another individual. عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم. It may be that the one that you are making fun of is better than you. You do not know. ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكون خيرا منهن. And Allah specifies, this applies to men and it also applies to women. Do not make fun of one another. What is it that you are making fun of? Whatever a person has, they have been gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever good it is from Allah. Whatever seems to be bad is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if you make fun about a person, their look, their background, their language, their culture, their belief. You can't make fun of a person's belief. You know, you mention that, let's say for example, somebody, is worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, animals or the sun or the moon or even Muslims that have distorted beliefs about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and about saints, and all of these distorted beliefs, you cannot make fun of them. Because the belief that you have is given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has not decided yet to guide this person. And so making fun of people, whether that is because of their look, physical appearance, or because of the way they carry themselves and their character, or because of their lack of education, or lack of wealth, or lack of social standing. All of this is not permissible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not make fun of one another. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also in this surah, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Name calling or giving one another nicknames. And usually this is done because of either because of a person's background or because of a person's appearance, right? You call one short and the other one tall, and one fat and the other one skinny, and all of these are not permissible, because this is making fun of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Do not backbite one another. This is a major sin. And the problem with it is very common. Even amongst the most religious, you will have religious people, you know, committed people, that will not lie. You will never hear them using foul language, right? But they will do what? They will make ghibah. They will backbite. Backbiting is speaking of another person in his or her absence in a way that would be displeasing to them. This is haram. And so even statements like, you know, we who are religious, we say, oh mashallah, this brother used to come regularly to the masjid, look now, he's not coming, may Allah guide him. This is ghiba. If you were sincere, you would make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are you telling other people there's nothing they can do about it? You make dua to Allah. This statement is said not out of concern for that person. It is said in order to elevate yourself, that look how steadfast and righteous I am. I was here in Ramadan and I am here after Ramadan. So many people, where have they gone? What right do you have? What right do you have to talk about other people? You concern yourself with yourself. When you go to your grave, Allah is going to ask you whether you went to the masjid or not. He's going to ask you whether you fulfilled your salah or not. He's not going to ask you about other people. And so these statements we make, and sometimes we think that ghiba is only when you speak about one person specifically. No, you can make ghiba of an entire group. You can make ghiba of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you speak of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a derogatory way, in a way that defames people, and you are not seeking to rectify the situation, you are merely saying it either just for the sake of it, or at worst, you are saying it in order to make yourself feel good. And this is the problem with ghiba and gossip. People gossip because they do not like how their life is. And so in order to make themselves feel better, they will go and look for somebody who is in a worse situation and speak ill of them. And mention their situation. Now that makes me feel good, alhamdulillah. I'm in a good place. Right? Ghiba is a result of pride and kibr. You know, you think to yourself, it's only words. You know, and perhaps that person is deserving of the things that were said about him. The problem is not only in the words and the effect of the words that is going to create disunity and hatred amongst people. The problem is that we said that the tongue is the interpreter of what the feelings of the heart. And so when you speak ill of another person, what are you doing? You are informing others of the pride that is within you, how great you consider yourself to be, how amazing you consider yourself to be. Whereas the true believer considers himself to be the lowest and considers all others to be good. And even when he sees and he perceives bad and evil and wrongdoing in his Muslim brother and sister, he makes an excuse for it. I do not know the reason. And so I leave the judgment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, I can advise that particular person. Or I can inform somebody who has an influence on that person. This will not be considered ghiba. For example, that if I see somebody doing something and I go and speak to their parents. But the intention should be what? I'm not telling you in order to let you know how bad your children are and how good my children are. No, I am telling you out of concern for your child. And so this is permissible because now the parents are going to work in order to rectify their child. Right? And so this is permissible. Ghiba is a major sin. And ghiba eats away hasanat. The person who speaks ill of people will stand on the day of Qiyamah and he can have mountains, he or she can have mountains of good deeds. Hajj and Umrah and Sadaqah and fasting and reading Quran and all of these good deeds. But they will have to do what? They will have to repay people and ransom themselves. And they cannot give anything other than their good deeds. And so ghiba is a very common sin. And it is one of the what? The sins of the tongue that lead a person to hellfire. Another is lying. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, truth leads to righteousness and righteousness leads to paradise. And a person will continue to speak the truth until he's recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a truthful one. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, lying leads to falsehood. It leads to sin. At the very least, when you lie, you have to ensure that people don't find out that you are lying. So you repeat that lie, and then you get another lie in order to cover up the first lie. That is at the very least, right? You're not seeking to harm someone. You're not seeking to take somebody's right. You just, you know. Yes, you're. And lying is usually to do what? In most cases, it is done to protect yourself. And you are not protecting the good side of yourself. You're protecting the evil side of yourself. You have done something that you are not proud of, that you know that it is wrong. But you are going to lie in order to do what? To cover yourself up. So that people cannot see within. They cannot see you for who you truly are. This is what? A munafiq. A munafiq is a person who says something which is not in his or her heart. And so this is why Rasulullah says that the sign of the munafiq, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبْ, when he speaks, he lies. And so lying leads to sin. And sin leads to hellfire. And a person will continue to lie until he is recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a liar, compulsive, what we know as compulsive liar. Now imagine when you have, you know, we have like arguments, right? And you say, oh, it was one, and I say it was two. And so usually what we are you calling me a liar? The person hasn't said you're a liar. They're just merely stating what they know. And what you say is, immediately you take this as what? As an attack on your character. Are you calling me a liar? Nobody likes liars. Even liars don't like lies. Right? This is fitra. Your fitra is that you don't like, because fitra is that a person likes truth. You're born with it. And so, imagine how you feel when somebody, when you perceive that somebody sees you as a liar. Are you calling me a liar? If somebody says you are a liar, then it's qiyamah. In an argument, you know, you're having exchange of words and you're a liar. Allahu Akbar, you're ready, that's it. That is the point where the verbal dispute ends and the physical dispute begins. Why? Because everybody has self-respect and we don't like to be, even when we are lying, we don't want to be caught up. Imagine if Allah calls you a liar and rightfully calls you a liar and calls you on the day of Qiyamah on, you know, in front of people and he says, where is that liar? Huh? How low a person will feel. And now the problem is what? When we are committed and as believers we know lying is not good, we avoid lying to a certain extent. But we don't pay attention to small lies, white lies, that we consider white lies. Rasulullah only permitted lying in three occasions. One is in war, at war, when you are fighting an enemy, not when you are arguing with somebody. When you are in a physical war, you know, two armies, and there it is permitted because you are seeking to what? To trick your opponent. And he permitted it when you are trying to reconcile between two people. You went to Muhammad, Muhammad said something bad about Ali. And so you go to Ali and you say, Muhammad was full of praise. He was saying so many good things about you. And then Ali said bad things about Muhammad, but you go to Muhammad and you say, MashaAllah, you know, he loves you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he had all of these good things to say. This is permitted. And then also, Rasulullah has permitted the lying of between husband and wife. The lying to make a first person feel good, not to cover your sin and your evil, right? This is permissible. You know, the food was cooked, it wasn't so good, but you say, oh, mashallah, it was amazing, the best I had. Yeah? Or, you know, a husband buys a gift for his wife, like, let's say, a dress or something, and it's, you know, completely off the mark, right? Something from the 1980s. But she says, oh, mashallah, this is the best gift I have received in my life. This is permissible. Where you are lying to make a person feel good about something they have said or they have done. Not lying in order to cover up your mistakes. This is haram. But we just said that you should not interpret a hadith in accordance to your understanding and to your meaning. And so a person says, I'm going to lie because if I don't, then you know the relationship is going to... No, if you have done wrong and you have been caught out, then you have to admit and ask forgiveness from the person that you have hurt and harmed and ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed out that some people will lie in order to make others laugh. And so jokes are haram. Joking is not haram. Being light-hearted and saying things that will make a person laugh is not haram. Actually, it is the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And actually, there was a sahabi radiallahu anhu who was known as the joker. Right? One instance, he went and brought some honey to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, please, this is a gift for you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, can you taste it? So he tasted it. He said, Ya Rasulullah, do you like this honey? He said, yeah, it's nice. He goes, okay, can you go and pay the price? Because I have taken it without paying its price. Okay. An elderly woman came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, Allah describes people of paradise that they are young, and will old people enter paradise? He said, no, you will not enter paradise like this. And so she went away crying. And Rasulullah SAW called her back and he said, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you your youth and you will enter paradise as a young woman. And so it is permissible to make fun and to joke, but it is not permissible to make things up. There was this Moroccan and Pakistani and they were on a plane. And how common is this, right? Irish man, English man, and just making things up in order to make others laugh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that that is not permissible. Why? Not that there is something wrong. You are making everything haram. Not that there is something wrong with it in itself. There is no bad intention. There is no evil intention. You just want to make fun. But the problem is that this will lead to haram. Because if it becomes a habit, then it will lead to lying in serious matters. And so Allah does not allow it. Right? It is not permissible. And so these are the things to summarize: associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in speech, speaking about Allah and the deen of Allah without knowledge, causing namima, tail bearing, ghiba, backbiting, and making fun of one another, giving nicknames to one another that are inappropriate, and seeking to defame a person through them and belittle a person through them, and lastly, lying. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. The best way is utilize, Rasulullah said, the one who believes in Allah and the last day, let him say what is good or remain silent. Learn to remain silent. If you don't have anything good to say, then do not speak. You will be safe. We will be safe. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability, inshallah.